You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Thank you for your personal involvement even now. God, wow. Thank you very, very much, Spirit of God. Father, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In Psalm 37, here's David giving us a wonderful, wonderful set of information that is necessary to succeed. And we noted in Psalm 37, in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't get all heated up and bothered and trying to figure everything out and work everything out. Don't be doing that. Now, having said that, we slide down in the light of our reading, and we read together, trust in the Lord. That's a command. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if you're going to trust in God and do the right thing in the right way, you're going to end up staying secure and safe, and you're going to have all your provision met. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if we're going to look to God to outwork his will, his way, and we're going to trust in him, then it's going to happen. Now, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. And the word delight is to be pleased, to pleasure. To enjoy oneself fully. It's an awesome word. To enjoy oneself in luxury, abundance, in pleasure. It's intensive, the verb is, and it's reflexive. You yourself, it's something the heart does all by its lonesome. Do yourself, enjoy abundantly, enjoy the Lord. Delight thyself abundantly, in luxury, with no skimpiness, no stinginess, no littleness, to be able to enjoy having. It'd be like having, it isn't a good illustration, but if you were going to have an ice cream cone, and I gave it to you on a little dot, a little teaspoon, and I put the ice cream in the cone, teaspoon, and you'd be thankful and give me a quarter. Now, but if I could put you in the middle of a room full of ice cream, and you could take your cone any way you wish, to have luxury, abundance, to delight yourself in luxury. Say it. We're in the middle of God. To delight yourself with pleasure in flourishing, fullness, to enjoy what? God's marvelous person in all of his fullness, in all of his wonderment, to enjoy his person. Not just a little bit of God. To let God be what? To let God be all of God. Not a little God, not man-sized, God-sized. To let God be God-sized. To let God be God. Abundantly, if you delight yourself in letting God be God, verse 4, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now that is a way to say in the Old Testament by way of David what we're looking at in John chapter 15. Over to John chapter 15. God, you aren't stingy. No, 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 you mean awesome, awesome, I do. Awesome, wonderful things. Now, you know, in the light of John, I'm going to even go over just to get a little more, over to John chapter 13. And you'll remember, as we did that, John chapter 13, picking up in verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that's Judas Iscariot, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him, the Son of Man. Judas has gone out to betray the Lord in the garden, etc. Verse 32. And if God be glorified in him, Christ, God shall also glorify Christ in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. The whole arrangement of him going to the cross from the foundation of the world is to glorify him, for God to be glorified. God is glorious, just God being God, he's glorious. And glory, remember we said the wealth, the worth, the weight, wealth, worth, weight, and you got the word, Old Testament word, glory. Wow. God, wealth, worth, weight. It makes such an impression. You can't not see it. The sun at the apex of the day, noon, etc. And the sun's bright and you're out there. You can't miss the influence, the impression, the awesomeness, the glory of the sun and its brightness and its brilliance. Wow. Now God the Father, looking at God the Son, is glorified. He's going out to the cross. Chapter 15. And we share together down in, if I can, down in verse... Oh, picking it up in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And Father, God is going to be glorified. God is, his wonderful, wonderful plan and purpose on Calvary's cross is going to come to pass. And all of the benefits, all of the purposefulness of it, God, and you want it. It's an awesome thing, right? And so therefore, we got to make a little mental trip back to Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight, it's a command, a command. You yourself, delight yourself in the abundance, in the fullness, in the luxury of God. Not stinginess, luxury, the awesomeness of God. Why? Because God is going to do what? He's going to glorify himself in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to glorify him. So now, hang on to that, and just to lock in peace after peace. So when you're dreaming at night, it's all the pieces are always there. No matter what the time of day, no matter what the problem, truth is there. Understanding is there, locked in, right on target. And that's what God honors. Hang on. Now, hold your finger here just a moment and go over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians again, allowing me to go back to that. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And you would recall in the God of this world blinds the minds of those that don't believe. That's why they don't, they could read the Bible for the next 100 years. You're not going to get anything that is going to save them. Now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 6, we, and the gospel preached as you're reading it in the God's Word, is about and centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Christ is the light of the world, has shined out of darkness, hath shined where? Where did we begin to consider and think about God's wonderful person in our hearts? In our hearts. That's how. God gave us the good news, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, to receive him as your Savior. And as if you really, really did that, then God, you did something wonderful, because all we did is do what you told us to do. And in verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus Christ. So God, how are we going to enjoy this immense luxury, this awesomeness of yourself? You said, as we glorify you, as you glorify yourself in us, we produce much fruit, and it is your pleasure to glorify yourself some more. That's right. Now God, you're going to be God in our life. Say it simply. That's what you're going to be. You're a glorious God. I am. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, back over to John 15, when I received the Lord as my Savior, God does a wonderful thing and saves us to the uttermost. And God's going to be gloriously who he is. And the human heart is to go, what? The human heart is to enjoy his person. That's what we do all the time. Our main assignment, it isn't us with each other. We're just humans. And all of our humanness and all of our friendship and everything is only little and never last and never is safe. It doesn't last. So humans with humans are humans. But our main function, our most needed function, isn't to know each other. It's to know him, God. And God makes everything work. You know, think of the Ten Commandments, the first four, about God. And when you've got God in the right place, the next ones, through ten, are what? About being able to live with humans, to be able to be human, to live with humans. And it requires God to do it successfully. Without it, it isn't going to happen. And God, you have done something marvelous to make it happen. You died on the cross before the foundation of the world, and you went and died literally on Calvary's cross in Jerusalem, and you died on the cross, and that's what we're reading about. What you're going to do? You're going to make all of that reality real and possible in all of your fullness. That's what it's about. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Hang on. Now, and we share together over in John chapter 17, John chapter 17 and verse 22, that the glory, you know this, I'm just putting the pieces. You can't build on top of the foundation if you don't have one. John 17, verse 22. Now, the Lord Jesus said, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one even as we are one. A unique oneness. God, you're going to give your wonderful glory to the heart of the believing believer. That's what you're going to do. So the glory belongs to God. So the vine and the branch is the whole chapter. The vine and the branch. The branch is going to enjoy what? The glory of the vine. The branch doesn't have any glory. The vine does. The Lord Jesus Christ has the glory in the believing heart. And the glory in the believing heart is none other than God himself in Christ in the heart of the believer. And that glory is going to be what? To be abound in abundance and in the fullness, the flowing movement to produce much fruit. That's what it's going to do. And we're going to go back to John chapter 15. We're going to go and hide the word in our heart. And verse 7, I should say, 15 and 7, you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So as we look and resting in God's wonderful person, just think of being in the room, if you would. Here we are in the room. And you're in the room, and as you look in every direction, the room completely surrounds you. So no matter where you look, and floor, look up, look down, look left, look right, the room surrounds you. You are in the middle of God in Christ. So no matter where you look in your heart, you're in the middle. I want you to abide in me, Christ said. A branch in the vine. So everywhere you look, I'm in the middle. And we share together, verse 7, and my words find a home in your heart. So in our little head and heart, we're finding God's word at home, and God's word is to find a home in our heart. The words that I speak unto you, John 6, you have to turn there, are spirit and truth. They're full of life. Full of life. So as we look at your word and honor your word, it is full of life. It isn't dead words. It isn't just empty words. It isn't just a piece of ink, a drop of ink on a piece of paper. No, it's my words. And you hide the words in your heart. And the words are full of life. And we shared last time in Matthew 13 and that, 23. And your ground, the heart, needs to have good ground in the heart, so that the seed that goes in the ground, God's word, well, what? If the seed finds good ground, what's it going to do? It's going to blossom and grow. What are you saying, Psalm 37 and verse 4 that we read? Delight thyself in the Lord. It's a command. Be doing it. So hide the word in your heart. It's full of life. For just one spot to see it, over to John 8. John in chapter 8. And you will recall, our Lord gives it. We did this, but just to put it together, got to keep putting it together. Chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, the word continue is the word abide. Abide, 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 branch in me, abide. It's the word, it's the verb. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you may or may not, the third class, and to continue to abide in my word, you're going to keep letting my word, you're finding your home in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, truly. Why? What makes you? Because you're abiding in my word, and my word does awesome, wonderful things, and we're to understand that and know that. And we remember, without turning there in James and that, 125, we look into the perfect law of liberty, looking in the Bible. And the Bible reflects what? It reflects our awesome salvation in God's grace. It tells us about the awfulness and awesomeness of sin in our life and God's cleansing blood. And we look in God's word, and we're encouraged that God is being to us God in all of his fullness, in all of his magnificence. He's going to be God. And as we look in the perfect law of liberty, freedom, the truth will set you free, we just read, indeed. And as we do that, God is going to do something wonderful. It's going to give us a home. What are we, a home? We're at home in the room. We are at home in Christ, in God. And God's word is at home in us. So we aren't fighting it. We aren't playing with it. We aren't up and down with it. We aren't putting it on the shelf and never opening it. No, God, we have it. It's an open Bible in our home, in our heart. It's open. And God, we're looking for you to deal with us in a most awesome way. And that's what you're going to do. So the word in us is going to give us, govern and guide us. You know the illustration, all kinds of illustration. Just think of the, if you're going to be an airplane pilot and you're going to find an aeroplane, and in doing so, you could get in and you turn the motor on and close your eyes and pull the thing back and hope it'll go. No, what you're going to do, if you're going to do it really, you want to go and you can do all of that, but they are not too encouraged, you going up in that aeroplane, pulling, turning the wheel, etc. No, you need to have instrument. You need to qualify for the instrument function. And if you can't qualify, you're in trouble. Why? Because when you're up in the air in that aeroplane and you don't have instruments, and the situations can change, and you don't know whether you're going up or whether you're going down. You don't know left, you don't know right, because there's no sense. There's no place up way up there. Wow. Now what do you need? Instruments. Instrument flying. Because your eyes trick you. Your mind, imagination tricks you to dimensions and location. So you have to what? Your mind's still working, your eyes are seeing, but you're looking at the controls and you're going by the controls to keep your plane level on the right course. And you don't care about what you see or what you feel. You're going by the instruments. We're going to go by God's word. No matter what we feel and think and wish and want, by God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So God, that's what I have to learn. But if I don't have the word in my heart, I don't have an instrument on the airplane, or it's broken, I'm in trouble. God, you've given us your word. And you've told us your words are truth. They are alive. John 6:63. They're living, living words. Wonderful words, full of life, because they're your words. And therefore, God, that's an awesome thing. Now, God, in order to do all that, you will note in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. You're going to go and ask. You're going to go and ask for God's will. That's right. You want God's will. Now, what do we read in Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight thyself also. Get all excited about God abundantly, luxuriously. And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. But who are you excited about? Who are you in love with? What's it all about? It's about God. It isn't about your health. It isn't about your wealth. It isn't about kids, family, marriage, or anything else. Our country, our world, all of that is real. All of that's looking out the window. We see it. We live it. We're in the middle of it. But we go by the instruments. Go by God's word. And God, here we are looking to you and your word and your will. That's right. And we're excited about you, God. The pleasure of God. Our Lord, while you're here, just turn over to John chapter 5 a moment. And you remember in all of this, our Lord, and in doing what he did, chapter 5, picking up in verse 19. Verily, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, 19, verse 5. Verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, so do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, again, as you know, if I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. It isn't about me, it's about God. I have an assignment to represent God's wonderful plan. And we shared that, all these things, you know. Before the foundation of the world, Christ had you in mind, you, us, specifically. He had a wonderful plan to create us, which he did, obviously, because here you are. And here we are on planet Earth. And he had a wonderful plan and purpose. And it all involved what? You would have physical birth at this point in history. And you would have spiritual birth, God's to what? To fulfill God's wonderful plan for your life. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Whose good works? God's. God has a wonderful plan to outwork that life. What life? The one he had in mind. So when I come to know the Lord, it's luxurious. It's a wonderful plan. And we're to delight ourselves in what God is doing. So what I'm going to go to work and school and all the different things we do, the laundry and all the stuff we have to do, we do it. As we do it as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And all that we do in eating and drinking is to be to the glory of God. We're to live a normal life as children, his children. So as we're walking around, here's 7 billion people, and here's a bunch of them that belong to God, that belong to God. The others have rejected him, but not them, not them. A simple illustration, here's Noah, with all the huge host of humanity, all of them are unsaved, except Noah and his sons. And he's all alone. So when Noah, God looks down and hears all of these people doing what they do out there, and God said, there's my son. There's my, Noah walked with God. There he is. When he looks at your home, your neighborhood, through your roof, there you are. There you are. At work, at school, there's my man. There's my daughter. There they are. See them? Right there. They're in the midst of it all, and they ought to be there. What? They don't belong to the world anymore. They belong to God in a most awesome way. And God has claimed them, as we did this morning in Sunday school, holiness. And God has claimed them as his own. And God demonstrates. There's a person. All the people are there and say, well, we're religious up to our eyeballs and we do everything. And there's someone that's really saved. There's someone that really knows God. There's someone that really knows God. Wow. And here are all the people. And God said, and the angels, the good guys and the bad guys are there. Wow. And God said, but don't say I can't save. There's one right there. There's one right there. That's mine. That's mine. And they eat and drink into my glory and honor. That's what they do. And if anyone asks a reason of the hope that is within them, they have an answer for them. They have a great God, the God of all comfort, that meets every need of their heart luxuriously, abundantly, super duper, so that in the sadness and pain and headache and heartache and all of the things we can have, there's a wonderful, wonderful overcoming that all of that is going to come to pass. And in not one moment in the whole journey, did God disappear or did you lose one drop of life? Your life was not diminished, depleted, or it never departed. Even though it looks like everything's falling apart. But no, you're still there. God, that's right. That's what it's all about. Now, God, so whatever we ask in your will. Now, hanging on and keeping that in mind, if you would. So we're going to ask whatever, and whatever we ask in your name. Now, so the word ask, by the way, we may not catch it all. The word ask has to do with the word desire. Ask / equals desire. Better than that. I like better than that. Desire, will. It has to do with the act volition, an act of volition on your part. You ask, you will, you choose, you're made up. I am, you is. You're able to say, I am, you're real. I ought, you are morally responsible. I will, you have the right to choose. And God gave each of you that. I am, I will, I ought. God, I am, I will, I ought. I am morally responsible for rightness. Now, having said that a little bit, and think, ask the desire of the will. So when we ask and want in your will, God, we're looking for your will to be outworked in a most awesome way, asking. And when, as we're asking, while you're here, just to show you that that's what it says, if we ask anything in his will, then we're going to go and bear much fruit, and God is going to be glorified. Now, God, Father, how are we going to help you? How are we going to do this? You're going to ask. How are you going to ask? As a son. And a son. We shared last time together, adoption. You're adopted. Not only are you born physically, spiritually, into God's wonderful, and God's children, that little word, but you're placed instantly, adopted. You are adopted. Full-blown privilege. You didn't lose one drop. You stepped in from outside in the dump with nothing to eat and no clothes, and you went through the door, and you were showered and dressed and fed in one moment. And you have all the privileges of sitting at that table. There's a seat there for you. There's a seat for you to sit down on. God made it for you. It's yours to sit there as a son. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read a little bit, at least to touch it. Our Lord Jesus asked nothing of himself. What he did was what? He asked only for the will of the Father. Over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse 34, directly. Remember, they were going to eat. They were concerned about getting to McDonald's and getting something to eat. Verse 34, Jesus said unto them, his disciples, my meat, my food, is what is your food? A McDonald's burger? No. My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What's your whole purpose of coming and going? Work, home, school, hard, much, little. It's to outwork the will of God for my life. And then you go over to Matthew 26 and all of that. In the garden, remember we shared it last time. In the garden, he says he has to drink that cup, the cup of our sin. He has to pay the penalty, the punishment, and take it in his own body. He has to pay the penalty, bear the punishment. The wages of sin is death. He has to die. Not my will, but thy will be done. God, I wish it didn't have to be. But be that as it may, Father, your will be done. That's what you came for. What are we here for? For our will? No. No, if you took time to read in John 5:31 and all of that, You what? It isn't about the Lord Jesus. It's about God demonstrating his marvelous grace and to be gloriously real. And where is he going to be gloriously real? In the heart of the believer. And the heart of the believer has to understand God is an awesome God. Awesome. Wow. Now, and therefore, whatever we ask in his name, he'll do it. Oh, John chapter 14. What are you going to fulfill, God? What is your, we did all this. You know, just, I got to keep doing it till it bothers you. And you grab it. And you see it. Otherwise, you don't see it. And he goes right past you. You don't want it to go past you. You want to block it. Don't let it get away. Chapter 14. And you know verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, more, greater than these, shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And as I go to my Father, I'm going to be able to save you and find my home in your heart. And when you do that, what's going to happen? As a son, you're adopted. And what are you going to do? You're going to do what I do. Who are you going to do it to? The Father. Who are you going to ask? You're going to ask in my name, the Father. That's what you're going to do. You aren't asking me, said the Lord Jesus. You're asking my Father on behalf of me. As a son. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to have a relationship that shows it. Do I understand? I do. The Lord Jesus Christ in his marvelous deity and humanity honored God the Father and his will. And Jesus Christ in us honors his Father. Jesus Christ is going to honor his Father and his will. And we are going to be able to do likewise. Remember we did it, Galatians 4 and 6 and 5 and 6, 4, verse 5 and 6, etc. And we ask the Father in my name, and the Spirit of God is going to come, verse 6, and crying out, present tense, command. He's continuous, I should say. He's going to go and cry, Abba, Father. So what are we going to learn? We're going to talk to God as our Father. On behalf of what? On behalf of the Son. He's the head, the Son. We're the body. The sons are going to ask, and they're going to demonstrate that they understand what their assignment is. Their assignment is to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to do his wonderful continued work. So it isn't a way out pie in the sky, you could never have it. No. It's God being God in the life of a believer. And God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. Whatever we eat and drink, we can do it to the glory of God. That sounds impossible. No, it isn't. You go and do your work in the home, dishes, depending on your Empire State Building, up there on top, whatever you do, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it as unto him. Think of Colossians 3. You do whatever you do, do it heartily, as wholeheartedly, as unto the Lord, whatever you do. That's all God wants, is you to be his own. And you go and outwork that. And therefore, chapter 14, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's right. Anything. Because you're asking for what? The Father's will, which he has planned before you were ever born. God already has tomorrow, and you haven't even lived it yet. You haven't even got there. You haven't even got to this afternoon. And God's already there. God already has it. Wow. How long a nap do we take? 4 hours or three? You know, I don't know. We have it. You already got it. That's right. Wow. And so back over to chapter 15. And in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Think of Psalm 37, 4 again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of his heart. Your heart, what are they? God's. That's where it's going to be. And you get caught up in it. It's luxurious. You say, boy, you're getting excited. It's right. It's awesome. And you do the ordinary, the little things, the big things, and you do them with thanksgiving in your heart, and you look to God, and God works out everything in his time, in his place, in his way. He does them, and that's what he does. And that's what God's will is going to be. And until God's finished, you're going to keep doing it, if you're going to look to God, until he takes you home or the Lord comes this afternoon. Wow. So we're looking to you, God. That's right. And in the light of that, whatever we ask. Now, hang on. I hope you just got a little bit. I'm just trying to get you to, it's a section. I can go past it and to other things. I think Jeremiah is a wonderful thing we're doing. And Jeremiah is talking about the judgment of all the nations of the world. God's going to level the playing field in a marvelous way. Now, that isn't quite as exciting and personal as this is. This is essential to understand this. This is what it's all about. Why are you living? Why are you breathing air? Why bother doing anything? There better be some reasons for it besides they're hungry, I got to cook, you know. Or they're hungry, I got to do the dishes so they have something to eat off of, you know. There better be something more than that. I got to go to work. I got to do this. Boy, if that's what you're governed by, not very good. Nope. Ills, aches, pains, whatever they are. God, 1 John. Over to 1 John. Chapter 5. Oh no, chapter 3 first. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 22 directly, if I may. 1 John 3, 22. And whatsoever we ask, there we are, desire, an act of our will, we choose to do so, we receive of him. What are we asking? In his name, for his glory. We're asking God's will to be outworked in the next 10 minutes. For whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's right. And so God, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, that's a relationship. Ask what you will. It's same thing. Over chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that's why we're reading them and locking them in again and again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know what? That you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And when you know, you're going to go by what it says, that's right. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, okay? Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, there's a little word, verb, if we ask, desire, the heart, the volition, if we ask anything, oh, I want to have $1 million and an estate on the moon, you know. No, don't. It doesn't say that. If you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Anything in my will. Not for you, but my plan for your life to be outworked. That you ask for. Now, and he heareth us. Verse 15. And if we know, and we do know, with the result we are knowing, that he hears us. Whatsoever we are asking, there's your little word, volition of the will. We know, what do we know? That we have the petitions that we desired of him. We haven't got them yet, but we asked for God's will at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And that's what we're looking for. And you already have it, even though you haven't got to 4 o'clock. Because that's what you want. You ask anything of my will, and believe me, with all your heart, that's what I'm going to do. You haven't even got there yet. But God has. Wow. Now, God, that's what it's all about. And when you bear much fruit, what's going to happen? I am glorified, said God. I am, your little life is producing a relationship to me, love, joy, peace, fruit. It's all about who I am, and you're allowing me to be God. So all the angels, the good guys, even the bad guys sometime, understand, and God, in your wonderful working, you're going to do what you do in our life, and you're pleased to do so. And you are going to fulfill our Lord Jesus Christ, John 8, 28, 29. Every 24 hours, 7 days a week, there was not 1 minute of his life that he did not please you, God, in his perfect humanity. There's not one going to be 1 minute in your life as you trust him. And that's what God's going to work out. It involved Christ going to the cross. And his going to the cross, that's what you do. Where are we going to start even? At the cross, where you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, a wonderful life to be outlived. Here and now, simple, simple, wonderful, just doing ordinary things in an extraordinary way. Wow. Keep your eyes. Next time you're flying a plane, keep your eyes on the instruments. No matter what you see, no matter how you feel, no matter about anything, God said, my words are full of life. My thoughts and my ways are higher than the heavens. And what I'm doing and how I do it, all you can do, Ephesians 3, all you can do is what? Enjoy above and beyond all that you could ask, there's your little word, or think. God said, you can't outthink me and you can't outdo me. So if you don't mind, why don't you let me pick my wonderful plan for your life, inch by inch, and watch it. Otherwise, you're busy on your own plan trying to make it. But once I yield and I see it, his plan, that's what I already have. I'm not trying to find it. God already has it. So I need to outwork it. No. Our Father in God, we thank you a little bit. We thank you a lot, even though it's a little bit for us to think about things. So God, we thank you a lot. Spirit of God, it's so wonderful. We're so stupid about everything and stubborn. Stubborn and stupid, they little words that stay with us, unfortunately. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you very, very much. God, we owe you, I owe you, forever I owe you. Thank you, thank you. Deal with the heart of each boy, girl, man, or woman, all the sick, the people that are away, the people that come, the people that wander, people that are disappearing. God, help us all. In Christ's name, amen.